irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Dave's Good Vibration Station with Dave Cohen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Beautiful people of this planet, you've just tuned in to Dave's Good Vibration Station, the show where we talk about anything and everything to raise your vibration. Again, we can share the feeling of love running through my veins. Once again, every single Sunday on LATalkRadio.com, you've tuned in Dave's Good Vibration Station. I'm your host, Davey. We have a very special show lined up for you today. First and foremost, I want to give my gratitude to each and every single one of you sharing this time with us. As you know, it is so important to keep a high vibration, especially in this day and time with everything going on, vibrations raising, lowering, being transcended through multiple dimensions of consciousness. We'll get into all that later. First and foremost, I would like to welcome a very, very special guest, media psychologist, Dr. Michelle Cohen. Welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
Hi, Davey. It's great to be on your show, as always. Thanks for having me.
Well, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show. And for you that don't already know to tune in to Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio at Friday, every Friday at 11 a.m., you got to do it. So, first and foremost, Doc, thank you so much for coming on the show, spreading your knowledge. You are the first person that we at the Vibration Station go to when it comes to wanting a solid and, you know, just like pretty much want to know the facts about something. If we have a question, we're pondering an idea, we want to know the facts, we go straight to you because you are the media psychologist that that just knows, you know, you talk about intuition, right? Well, today's show we'll get into that, but your intuition when it comes to, you know, dealing with people, feeling people out, and knowing what they need to make them feel better is spot on. So
thank you
for doing what you do and being who you are. Now today's show,
maybe not always,
well,
I give it a good try.
At least the parts of you that I've seen. I'm just kidding.
Thank you.
So, well, today we're talking about trusting your intuition and more. That is a huge, huge topic. There's a lot that revolves around that. Now, this is the Vibration Station. Intuition is just vibration intercepting. You know what I'm saying? So, okay, we're going to expand. We really want to define for you guys today, right, how to trust your own intuition, but not get tangled up between what intuition is versus your old past subconscious fears and memories that are coming to the surface because of some trigger, right? Which then you convince yourself is some sort of sign from the universe, some sort of intuition, but then really it's just you convincing yourself. So there's like this, there's this catch-22 paradoxical thing that's going on here where it's like, well, here I feel something and it could be an intuition, or it could be something that's just being triggered within me because I've had an experience in the past. Like, you know, that's what we're talking about. And we brought the doc because she just rocks our socks to the moon. So that's
wow.
That's all that
that's about it.
That's about the extent. So good show. All right, welcome to the I'm just kidding. So doc.
Yes.
Here's what we're talking about. You have, I'm going to give you the scenario, and I want you to give me the psychological breakdown of what you think and where we go from here. Now, I know in my life, I've had a bunch of experiences, okay, where I have thought that I've had a hardcore intuition about something, like been like, I've got to do this, I got to go there, or I'll look at someone and I'll be like, I need to communicate with that person, right?
Yes.
And it turns out to be something amazing. I'll follow that intuition. I'll go for it, and it turns out to be something really, really cool, okay, and awesome, and it'll lead to something wonderful, and you know what? But there's also been times where I felt that same feeling. I could almost say it is the exact same feeling of like, oh, I should do this or I shouldn't do that, but then I remember well like. A couple years ago, something happened to me related to this, and maybe and then I start thinking into it, but then I'll just, like, I'll get too caught up in it, you know what I'm saying? And then I won't know if it's my intuition guiding me into something greater, or if it's my fear or a lack of confidence guiding me into something that I've just have a neural net pattern set up in my brain. So what do you think, Doc?
Wow, that's a really good question. First of all, let me point to someone who I think we all believe in and love is our dear Albert Einstein.
Indeed.
And he has been quoted as saying, "The intuitive mind is a sacred gift, and the rational mind is a faithful servant."
Wow.
He says, "We have created a society that honors the servant and has forgotten the gift."
Mm.
So isn't that wonderful? You know, he was a very spiritual man. He was a physicist.
Yes.
You know, he was a genius. But, I mean, he also knew that there was something else, you know, out there and beyond. And much of it is within ourselves, and we have to learn to trust that.
Yes.
So scientifically speaking, I think in the psychological sense, we can define intuition, besides the wonderful thing that Albert Einstein said, as just kind of knowing that something is going on without being able to explain how we came to that conclusion rationally or a feeling. It's sort of that mysterious gut feeling or instinct that often turns out to be right if we look back at it, right?
Exactly.
I mean, how many times have you heard people say, there was just, you know, I had this wonderful offer for this great job, there were a couple of jobs, and just something was telling me that it wasn't all great.
Exactly.
And everybody was telling me that I should do it because of the money, but there was something else there that I had an offer of or something else I was thinking of that I really wanted to do, and the people over there at this other place just felt so good to. I can't explain it,
exactly.
But why would I be so stupid as to decide not to take this job that everyone else wants me to take?
Exactly. Right.
I've been lured by the sweet promise of safety and security at my soul's detriment, right? And many people have come very close to settling for certain things in their lives that is far removed from the one that they really dreamed of and deserve and just really, you know, hold in their heart of hearts. So that's why you see a lot of unhappy people who are seemingly successful.
Exactly. Wow, that's a really interesting facet of that. Come to think of it.
Thank you. Yeah. No. So I think that when we make choices based on those kind of deep and instinctual, or we call it that gut, that knowing feeling, in you know, that we have.
Exactly.
we tend to find that the outcome is more beneficial
exactly
for us and our life path.
And I'm sorry. Oh, no, please go on.
No.
I just wanted to throw a little spin onto that story, onto that story of yours that you were saying about. So here's this person, they get this offer for this amazing job, and you know, everyone's encouraging them to do it. It's, you know, perfect pay, really good, you know, hours, everything's perfect, but there's just this gut feeling, right? Now, what if, okay, now take this scenario, okay? You have that same person that goes in there, just has that gut feeling that just says, maybe I just shouldn't do this. But take that same person, and a year ago, they went on a job interview for the same type of job, and they believed that they were going to get it. They put all their heart and soul into getting it. They practiced for months. They studied whatever they had to study about the company, and they walk in, they put their heart and soul into it, and they get rejected, and they still have this craw in them that says, you know, well, maybe I just shouldn't go out for this, because last time I did, I got shot down and it really, really hurt. And then you take that person a year later, give them this new opportunity where maybe if they would have just let that previous attachment to the old job that they got rejected from go, this could be a really amazing and powerful and wonderful opportunity. But maybe that thing is stuck in their craw, which is not letting them get over that hump of just knowing that everything is lined up at this new place perfectly for them, knowing that the universe does have my back and is lining up things for me constantly, just as long as I'm trying my best to realize that they are. You know what I'm saying? So if that if that person did not have a previous attachment to going in, you know, to working for a company or interviewing for a company like that, then maybe they wouldn't have that intuition of not go, maybe, you know, that job that they're saying, go for, they wouldn't have that intuition of hesitation if they didn't have that previous, you know, traumatizing experience of being rejected.
So that's that
fine line that I'm talking about. That's that, you know, and I guess it's difficult to say. You'll never really know from a scientific level whether it's intuition or just a subconscious neural net projection of a past pattern, you know?
Well, that's well said, but here's the thing. What a lot of psychologists believe, as I do, that as we, you know, get knowledge, whatever it's about, books or people or, you know, certain things, how to play chess, let's say, or whatever in school, our brain unconsciously organizes patterns into blocks of information. This is called, like, survival instincts that we all have.
Right.
Our brains. So, there was this social scientist, his name was Herbert Simon, okay? He called this chunking, you know? So this is like over time, our brain chunks and links more and more patterns and then stores these clusters of knowledge in our long-term memory.
Wow.
So if we see a tiny detail of a familiar design, we instantly recognize the larger, you know, composition. That's what
exactly.
we regard as a flash of
exactly.
intuition.
Exactly.
Okay? So this, we have elaborate brain circuitry. I mean, we, like you have learned, I know you and I have talked about this at length, about how we only use a small portion of our brain.
And we can activate more if we choose to through meditation, breathing, energy techniques, different stuff like that.
Yeah. Yes. And also, you know, those mind games, as they call them, those memory builders that we can get in touch with online. Or read more, or you know, so the thing is, like I said a little earlier, it's about survival. So this brain circuitry kind of evolved probably so our relatives, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of years and millions, they could size up a person or a situation really quickly. That was for, again, survival, and especially women. Because they needed the skill, because they had to, like, tune into their infants to enable them to survive. right?
Indeed, indeed.
And this probably helps explain why women have an edge when it comes to reading people, right? You've heard of the phrase, that's a women's intuition, right?
Yes, indeed. Yes,
well,
indeed.
It's from, I think men have it as well. I'm not saying that, guys.
No, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying.
Nurturing and being hyper-vigilant to little signs from the babies and the children to protect them. You know, men as well, our ancestors had to be intuitive about their skills to hunt, you know, of course.
Exactly. Exactly.
But anyway, that's old stuff. But, you know, it's just kind of listening, like you said, to our body signals.
Yes.
You know?
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, so I think you're right, Davey. I think we have to do certain things in terms of, like, you talk about meditation on your show, and I've listened to your shows, and it's really, it's true. You know,
Thank you.
Don't have to become a Zen monk.
It's true. And
to know how to relax your brain and get in tune with...
Exactly.
Those deep feelings. Okay.
And I was just going to say, I think that, you know, going off of that, a really key part of that is knowing that step by step, you know, you can't build a pyramid in one day, and you need to, if you're focusing on whatever it is that you're focusing on, okay, first things first.
Yes.
You need to align your energy. You need to feel good about what you're doing, right? I heard this wonderful quote. I heard this amazing quote. I know, Doc, that you're familiar, but listeners, if you're familiar with the artist, the speaker, Abraham Hicks, this is a quote from her. And she said, she goes, you know, sometimes, and Esther is the woman that allows Abraham through her. So it's just this energy of a higher understanding that just flows information through this woman named Esther. So Abraham speaking through Esther and says, well, she goes, Esther says, I don't have time to meditate. I'm constantly, you know, I have to do this, I have to do that, I have to prepare for the next seminar, I have to, you know, I still have bills to pay, I have to write my this, I have to do that, I have to do that. And she's talking to her husband, Jerry, right? And she's saying to Jerry, you know, I don't have time to meditate, because Jerry originally said, no, Esther, you need to slow down and just meditate, relax, you know, calm your energy. And, you know, and then do what you were going to do. And she was going to say, I just don't have time, Jerry. I just don't have time. And then his response was, Esther, you don't have time not to align your energy, right? And then what he means by that, right? And then she went off. She goes, what he means by that is if you do anything, that is out of alignment with your wholeness, with your source, being your joy. You can call it God, you can call it universe, you can call it whatever. It's happiness. It's feeling good. That's all it is. Is that good feeling when that serotonin is released in your brain and the dopamine and you start feeling good and because of your thoughts, not because you've induced yourself, but because of thoughts, because you start thinking happy and start meditating and breathing deep and getting energy flowing and your molecules vibrating higher, like you literally are transcending energetic patterns, vibrations in your body, you know what I mean, in your brain and your consciousness. So the idea behind this, right, is you don't have time not to do anything completely in alignment with yourself. Like you don't have time not to feel good before you start doing something, because if you just do something without taking the time to align with feeling good with it first, it's not going to turn out nearly as beneficial as it would if you'd entered it with the vibration and the expectation of alignment. It's just like it is the monumental difference between black and white. It is the monumental difference between, like, you know, in our terms, winning and losing, or being, you know, extremely abundant and extremely impoverished. It is literally the difference. It is that state of mind. It is that form of expectation and that knowing that is the difference between those, you know, two sides of the spectrum.
Yeah, well said, David.
Well, thanks, Doc.
And you know, it's true. A lot of people ask me, you know, in my private practice, well, how can I trust myself? How can I get more in touch with my intuition? And I go back to, you know, what you're talking about. You know, I'm coming from a more, you know, scientific or psychological point of view.
Exactly.
But really, like you say, sometimes if we still our minds, quiet our minds.
Yes.
From all the, you know, streams of consciousness and fears and, you know, just all the thoughts we're having.
Exactly.
And just breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth very slowly. And just focus on a word. That's it.
Exactly.
The color of a word. I usually use a black background.
And you can, yeah.
With a vibrant blue word.
That's powerful.
And I just focus on that. Now, thoughts will come and go.
Right, of
but
course.
But if you just keep coming back to that word, whichever comforts you, whatever, like some people call it a mantra, whatever.
Exactly.
Kind of, but I use a word and I keep focusing on that. And then all of a sudden, you'll start to have your mind still.
Right, right.
And then, well, you come out of that practice of stilling your mind, even for 10 minutes or 15 if you can swing it that long, if you can train your brain to do it that long, you come out of it gently and not start thinking another gazillion thoughts, oh, got to do this, got to
exactly.
Email this person, got to get on Twitter.
Exactly.
If you can focus and gently come out of that, then you're more open to receiving intuitive
absolutely.
Information.
Absolutely.
That's because you've allowed that conscious mind to chill out.
Exactly.
And you're allowing that subconscious,
the wholeness, the source,
your instincts to come up.
Exactly.
And sort of help you with what you may need to know. And the more you do that, then the more you can trust yourself.
Absolutely.
Because you feel a little more confident. Wow, I was calm about it. I didn't make a frantic decision based on fears. You know,
right.
Well, someone dumped me in the past. Someone broke up and broke my heart, or several women did that, and this other new woman.
You know, it's all
kind
perspective.
Of like,
you know, it's all.
So
it's,
I'm not going to start out a relationship because I.
It's really all perspective, Doc. It really is. It really is. Hey, to let you guys know, if you've just tuned in to the Vibration Station, you're with my special guest, media psychologist, Dr. Michelle Cohen. Dr. Michelle Roth. Dr. Michelle Cohen-Roth. It's Cohen Roth, Roth Cohen. You can call her whatever the heck you want because she doesn't care. She doesn't have an ego about it. Neither do I. That's why I call her whatever I want. Butt face, Dr. Michelle. I'm just kidding. Now, that might have been offensive. I apologize.
I don't have a problem with that.
Talk about low vibration. Make sure to tune in to On the Couch with Buttface every Friday at 11. I think I'm so funny. I think I'm so
funny. What have you been having in your coffee this morning?
I have a cup of coffee in here with the studio, with me, the studio, or should I say the studio is in the cup of coffee. I'm just kidding.
I guess your brain is.
My brain is in the studio, which is in the coffee. None of that matters. All that does matter is we are talking about trusting your intuition and more. We're trying to dig deep. We're trying to figure out seriously how we can decipher the difference between calming your mind, trusting your intuition, following that higher part of you, right? That little extra intuition aspect of you that tells you to make that left or to go there that time or to maybe just hold off and not do that versus old past experiences and triggering old past experiences, which make us feel and think like it might be an intuition or an inspiration to do something, right? So
that's true.
That's what we're looking at. And we're also looking at the power of calming your mind. And once you realize and recognize that through meditation, relaxation. And meditation, by the way, folks, isn't just sitting down and woo-sawing. Meditation is literally anything and everything that will bring you into a high vibration, meaning a calm state, like just a state of being able to feel good. Let the natural feeling good flow through your molecular being. You know what I'm saying? It's just like you're born to be happy. You're born to be bright. You're born to feel ecstatic. And when you don't, that's just because there's a thought that is an excuse for not allowing that natural state of ecstasy that's trying to come in. So, you know, as we go on with our lives, we forget how powerful we are. Babies, it's like, you ever like seen those shows where they put a baby's brain under like a CAT scan and you see everything that's firing off and you see how like babies use like way more of their brain than adults. It's like,
right.
It's because
mammography is amazing. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. It's because there's not that preconditioned or preconceived notion of, you know, what you've developed from 18, 16, 20 years of life, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years of life, which has taught you, well, you know, you have to work hard to receive money. That's the only way of receiving money. You have to, you know, life isn't fair. And, you know, it's like those old things that people have told you, which have convinced you, which then the universe has delivered to you. See, it's this whole catch-22. If someone were to tell you, like, right at birth, you get everything you want effortlessly, and you just think about it and believe that it'll come to you, and it will, the universe will reveal paths of least resistance to give you anything and everything that you want, right? Then it starts, yeah. It starts shifting. You know, you would be able to, at the age of 16, 17, 18, be like a master manifester and be like, oh, I want to create a philanthropic organization. Just like, bam, I can do that. And like, you get this intuition on how to do it, you know. But being that we've, you know, grown up in a society that has, you know, told us that we need to work hard and do certain things, which, and I'm not saying don't work hard for your money. That's great. Work hard. Just work smart. Work well. Work in alignment with the wholeness of who you are, no matter what it is that you're doing. You know, that's all I'm saying. So,
you know, I agree with you. And, you're right. So we have to trust ourselves and our intuition. And speaking about trusting ourselves, I just wanted to share something with you that I thought would be interesting.
Please do.
Okay, a lot of my patients come in and they say, well, you know, my mother thinks that I should take this job, or my father doesn't like this guy I'm dating right now and I feel guilty, or, you know, my whole family says I'll be really stupid if I don't take this job. I had a person come in, you know, several years ago and tell me this, and my whole thing was, everybody's going to have their perspective and their advice,
right?
But only you know what's best for you.
Exactly.
You know, our friends, our family, they think they know the answers based on their unique experiences.
Indeed.
And yes, our older family members sometimes can read people better than us, but a lot of their advice is based on some of their own fears and experiences.
Right.
So let me just say, we need to sort of not... It's good to listen to others' advice. I'm not saying that, because then we can get, you know, a real good feel for others' perspectives.
Of course.
But we can't base our choices on their beliefs. We have to trust ourselves. So
exactly.
If you go against the advice of everyone around you, that's okay, because it's your choice. And for some reason, you have to define whether you're rebelling against them. And if you're doing that because you want to prove that they have no power or they have no control, you got to really look at that.
Exactly.
But if it's based on your gut and something that they're saying would be wonderful for you just doesn't feel right, then you have to go with that gut. and it's okay. And if it's the wrong choice, it's a great experience. It's a great lesson.
And you know what? You know what, Doc? I'm going to take that one step further. I don't think that there's such thing as a wrong choice. I think the choices... So the choices that we make are just based upon our current vibration. And there's no such thing as a wrong vibration. There's just a current indication, right? It's just like... For example, and this is I love this analogy. It's like when your gas tank is on empty, you're not like freaking out because your gas tank is on empty. It's just an indication that your gas tank is on empty. So it's like when you're in a negative spot in your life, or like when some things are happening around you that you prefer not to be, that are completely out of your, you know, what you think you would attract, right? The best thing to do would understand not to freak out about it. Understand that it's simply an indicator of your vibration. It doesn't mean that that's wrong, that you're bad, that you've thought wrong. You've just thought yourself into the current point of attraction. Whether, like, and that's not bad. Like, if you want to think yourself into... into a homeless, let's just say, you know, the people that are homeless that have chosen that life, right? That is a deliberate, conscious choice because of the way that they see themselves, right? Those people that are begging for change have the exact same potential to be, do, and have anything and everything that they want as any billionaire, multi-billionaire around the world does. It's all about what you expect to flow into your life and not getting down on yourself when shit hits the fan. That's also a big thing, is I feel like a lot of people that have, you know, become homeless and lost faith in themselves is because when shit hit the fan, they didn't believe that they could get back up. They thought that this is life, and people around them kept telling them that this is life and you're bad and you suck because this and that and blah, 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 and whatever it might have been that got them to be where they are. I promise you, if they believed that they had the energy that created worlds flowing to them and through them when they want it to, when they can allow it, and all they have to do to feel that energy is feel good, is some way, somehow convince themselves to give appreciation for just life, for breath, for seeing, for, you know, and then you move up the scale from there. And then you move to, okay, I'm going to get the motivation to literally know that now I'm a deliberate creator. I'm going to focus on creating a source of prosperity. Okay. I'm going to focus on creating, you know, and then make it fun. It's really like life, the whole entire, this is what I believe, and this is what I've been told through many speakers and channelers and people that I revere to be extremely wise, okay? And then I'll give you the mic. But it's just, I've been told that this entire universe, the whole purpose of the entire existence of this universe, of planets, of people, of leaves, of everything anywhere in the entire universe, is just for the fun of catching up to the creation, for the fun of realizing that you're an limitless energy and that you can focus on creating something. And the very reason for this universe is to have that feeling of fun and expansion from knowing that you want to create something and then creating it and then having that ability to create. When like when planets were created and when the sun was made, when molecules are crashing at like light speed, and like that was like universal forces creating energy. That was excitement, that was love, that was joy. You know what I'm saying? Like the same emotions that flow through our bodies, love, happiness, not except, you know, the hatred and the, you know, that's all ego based. I'm talking like creation, perfection, alignment, like creating galaxies that allow for perfect atmospheres for oxygenated, you know, life and like water. And I'm just like, dude, it's crazy. I mean, it's all it all revolves around the fun of it. And the universe was having so much fun when it was making its galaxies. You know what I'm saying? And, like, we have so much fun when we create our galaxies of life, being our bank accounts, what we can spend, our different ways of flowing money and meeting people and having relationships and building empires and letting our egos go and whatever. It's just, it goes on and on. But the basis is, it is all about expanding and having fun. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree with you. I also wanted to just touch on something. You mentioned something about homeless people earlier.
Yes.
And how, you know, they need to believe in themselves. And just as a doctor of psychology, years ago I was working in clinics, you know, helping people who you know, weren't, you know, found themselves jobless and homeless. And I just wanted to point out that there are many people who were tossed out of the healthcare system because of the lack of funds in certain, you know, clinics or psychiatric facilities that used to be available. So a lot of poor souls who are dealing with chemical imbalances, you know, have been sort of left to the streets. So let me just say this. We do see a lot of people out there who need medication and do have chemical imbalances. And you have to love them. You know, they're the folks a lot of times that are kind of talking to themselves. They're hearing voices, or they're inappropriately socially. They scare people, and rightly so. But I think we have to give acknowledgement to the fact that it's very difficult for a certain population who are homeless to have the strength to have the belief system you do, or the mental capacity. But on the other hand, I think people who have, you know, been able to function and don't have a chemical imbalance, let's say, have been able to function and had jobs and were unfortunately kicked out of a job and didn't have, you know, the money to keep them going in their homes, and who are also homeless, you know, they need inspiration from people like you. They need those clinics from, you know, that can help them and encourage them to, yes, you can get another job. Yes, you do have skills. You have to believe in, you know, the fact that
it's about re-inspiring, you know,
whatever you want. And
exactly.
You know, we've kind of segued onto another topic, but I think a lot of it is, you know, compatible with trusting ourselves.
It is.
And,
well,
you know, knowing that we were able to create something in the past and live with a job and live, you know, some of the homeless people had families, and, you know, you can create that again for yourself. And again, I'm referring to people who are not, you know, sadly dealing with severe, you know, schizophrenia, or say the bipolar ones with psychosis, things like that, where people are really
indigent and they
can't really help themselves.
And the families have a very difficult time with coping, and they don't know how to cope, and then they end up in the hospital. They don't get the funding. That's very, very, that's heartbreaking.
So true. It's so true.
Speak about helping and giving love and light and just being the light of this life. You guys have got to check out talkshowtherapist.com. That is Dr. Michelle's website. You cannot miss it. Talkshowtherapist.com. Also, make sure to check her out on LA Talk Radio every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific time. Just wanted to let you guys know, if you want to log on right now, read a little bit about Doc while you listen to her, or you can wait till after the show. Talkshowtherapist.com. That's TalkShowTherapist.com. Thank you so much.
Appreciate that.
Of course. Thanks. We appreciate you, Doc. And if you are just tuning in with us, we got clinical psychologist Dr. Michelle Cohen on the air. A lot of power. One of the most influential psychologists in today's media. Very, very grateful to have her with us. We have been talking about a very interesting and, let's see, I mean, literally life altering subject, if you can learn how to trust your own intuition, you can literally learn how to allow anything you want into your life. So what we were talking about is really being in tune with your higher self, your intuition, versus, like we said earlier, having an old past experience which triggered, you know, an old emotion which you take wrong, or you take, or you think to be some sort of, you know, outside influence, outside intuition or force or something like that, telling you, don't go there, don't do that, you know what I'm saying? So we've really just been defining intuition on today's show. We've been defining how you can 100% tap into it through meditation, breathing techniques, different forms of relaxation, right? That's how you can definitely ensure that you will allow certain messages to download and feel certain emotional triggers that you necessarily wouldn't hadn't you started breathing or meditating in the way that you did. There's, sorry, go on, Doc.
I think, just to interrupt you, I think intuition can come in many different forms, too. And I think if we know how to recognize it, then we can say, indeed, whoa, that's fascinating. We can sort of be the observer of ourselves.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I've heard people talk about, and I've experienced, and I'm sure you have too, Davey, intuition coming from like a sudden flash of insight.
Yeah.
Just so, whoa, where did that come from? You know, it's like when we think of someone we haven't seen for 5 years and they call us on the phone shortly thereafter.
Exactly.
Or we see someone who we have thought of, traveling, this happened to me, and you're in another country, and literally you walk by them on the street.
Yes, like that, like you told me about that story. That's amazing. That's amazing.
Also, intuition can come from predictive dreams. And
absolutely.
You know, I've spoken to a lot of dream scientists, and there really is something that happens when we're in that REM stage, where we can tap into, really deeply tap into our intuition. And sometimes we dream things, not all the time, but sometimes we have these dreams, we're trying to figure them out, but we sort of follow what this means.
Yes.
And I think that's tapping into that deep subconscious state.
I agree. I absolutely agree.
You know, we have that sense of deja vu sometimes.
Yeah.
I've been here before. I think, you know, I don't know what that is.
Doc, you told me a really interesting story once. I was wondering if you'd be willing to share it, about how when you were younger, you know, first doing your radio thing, not to say when you were younger, because you're still extremely young. I'm just saying when you first started in radio, you know. You interviewed, you had a dear friend of yours that became, a psychic. She was a psychic, and she was one of your best friends. And you told me the story, and please correct me if I'm wrong, you know, where she gave you some really kind of scary information, and you had to, act accordingly. And could you expand on that a little bit? I just, for the listeners, it's a really interesting, really interesting story. And
it does
say a lot about, the possibilities of tapping into, some sort of higher knowledge or knowing, and being able to foresee the future or foresee someone's intention towards someone. So yeah, please expand.
No, I was really, thanks for asking about that. I was very blessed, I think, to have this experience when I was quite young. I got a job in radio in San Francisco, and I hosted a late night talk show where I had a lot of interesting guests. I got to choose a lot of different guests. It was a psychological oriented show, but I had a lot of experts, psychologists. But also, I was fascinated with those who were more psychic, not phony psychics, not with the crystal balls and the whole,
stuff
along with it. But I started researching and interviewing people who were known as psychic who worked with the Bay Area Police Department.
Nice.
To find missing people.
Wow.
And
that's the real deal. That's the real deal kind of stuff.
Yeah. Because I mean, when law enforcement, when detectives start saying it's wow, we've exhausted many of our leads and this case has gone cold. Sometimes they say we should turn to people who are intuitives, trusting, they know.
Exactly.
So I started interviewing several of these people, and there are a couple who I started interviewing who did work with the Oakland Police Department, on the other side of the bay from San Francisco. So they came into the studio. They became regular guests because we would talk about some of the crimes that they had solved and some of the missing people who they tuned into. And they taught people also, as we're talking about today, how to get in touch with, you know, each of our own intuitive.
Right.
So to make a long story shorter, we'd gotten to know each other after several months and became acquaintances, and we'd have coffee and became friends. And one evening I was getting ready for the show, and I got a call from one of these psychics, one of these intuitives who was, you know, working with detectives, and she said, "I am so sorry to bother you," but she said, "I want you to be careful because I was sitting here having dinner with our other intuitive friend who works with the detectives," and she said, "We both started feeling something going on with you, and we can't explain it. And you're a friend, and it's hard sometimes because we have to distinguish. We work with people we don't know many times.
Right.
We don't want to know information about the people because it helps us validate our feelings better."
Right.
So anyway, she started telling me, and I hadn't seen her for a while, but she started asking me questions like, "Were you in the market last night?" I got off, you know, another assignment pretty late. So she goes, "Were you in the market about 11 p.m. buying oranges?" And I went, "Yes."
That's
and then she started
so
asking
weird.
Me, like, there was a room you were in the night before, and it's green, and it looks like, I can't explain it, but it looks like a laundromat. It's a dull green, and I think it was a laundromat. You were doing your laundry. She started telling me, and I started thinking, "Oh, she's spying on me," or, you know, that was my doubting mind.
Right.
You know, but she started asking me these questions, and she said, "Oh my goodness, we're tuning into things that you were doing, where you were at, and there is someone who is following you, and this is why we're tuning into these
different."
"And we don't know who it is, but we're getting flashes." As I said, flashes of, in a way, we're getting flashes of that this person works in the area, that there's someone who follows you and watches you as you come home. I lived in the inner city of San Francisco, in the, you know, almost the financial district.
Wow.
So they said, "This person is watching you, and they're dangerous. They're not of their right mind, and you need to get out of your apartment. You need to go and move."
Wow.
And I'm saying, "What?" They're saying there's too many flashes we're having, and they validated so many places that I had been in, you know, without them knowing. I mean, they couldn't know, they couldn't follow me. So I started to trust the fact that these people were pretty good at knowing things.
Absolutely.
So I actually said, "You know, pack up tonight. Get out of there. This person's watching you, because they said that he's very dangerous and he could hurt me."
And oh my gosh, that's so,
so I
scary.
I believed them, and I packed up, and I was dating someone at the time. I wasn't married, and they said, "By the way, there's this person," and they didn't know this person. "There's this person you're dating, and they're not all to who they say they are. They say that they're a business person, and they have a great job, and they put on a very good exterior, but they're not really who they're cracked up to be. They're not the real deal.
Wow.
There's something going on." Okay.
What?
So they said, "Get out of that relationship. It's dangerous." So, I mean, I was attracting all of this strange stuff going on in my life, apparently.
That's amazing.
So I called my girlfriend, and I really did. I packed up that night. I told her, and she said, "Oh, my goodness, just come hang out, live with me for a while." She had a nice house.
Yeah, yeah.
And I stopped dating this fellow.
Good.
I was, you know, it wasn't a big relationship or anything. And I never knew what happened necessarily. I had friends move me out. I found a new place. But I did ask the police department about people in the area who were suspicious.
That's good.
And they said there was one person, and they identified him, and he fit all the criteria.
Wow. So, that's amazing.
And I was safe, and I was out of there. But that's about intuition.
Absolutely.
And that's what happened to me. I'm just relating the story that I listened to them.
Absolutely.
But I had my own intuition. They were right.
That's amazing. That's amazing, yeah. Doc. That is absolutely crazy. Thank you so much for sharing your such a personal story with us.
Sorry about the lengthy story.
Not at all. I'm fascinated, and I'm going to call you after the show, and I want to hear a little bit more, seriously. Listeners, lovers, and friends, I want to thank you all so much from the deepest depths of my heart for tuning in, spreading your love, light, happiness, joy, abundance, and laughter with us, and always from our hearts to yours. Thank you so much, Dr. Michelle Cohen. Make sure to check her out, talkshowtherapist.com. Also tune in to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio every Friday at 11 a.m. Thank you, Doc. Thank you so much. Always sending all the love and appreciation, gratitude, abundance, happiness, and light from our hearts to yours. Thank you so much, guys. Love you so much. We'll see you next Sunday. Bye-bye. Let's smoke. Just another deep motivator, an excuse to puff, puff, pass. Go back to class. Rhythm won't get you anywhere in life right there. Little to my understanding, I'm so young, shit is demanding. I paint a pretty picture with my mind's eye with a million words. I see kids holding up diamonds. I see stars keeping me shining. I see teachers keeping me whining. I see my wings keeping me flying. Above circumstances keeping me down. The darkness compounds, love surrounds, and our music is bound to shake the ground like two kings with two crowns. It's absolutely possible, more like unstoppable. When it hits you, makes your spine chill like you popped a knee pill. More than probable, watch me nod out. Just injected this vibration into the collective. That's